SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back, hour three. It's about now 7 minutes in, according to the little clock on my computer. And Dick Powell is going to join us. We'll certainly look forward to the last few weeks of Presque Isle, but we also take advantage of Dick's position, carefully monitoring Naira Circuit and Saratoga, specifically these 7 weeks. And the train has come to the end of the track. Dick, good morning.
Steve, good morning. The light at the end of the tunnel turned out to be a freight train.
Uh-oh. What happened? How did your, I guess,
no,
your
just,
meat?
I can't describe it. Just it's not like I got tired. I just weakened. I just like,
That's interesting.
I had a good day Sunday. Yesterday, I don't know what it was about yesterday. The heat just got to me yesterday, the humidity. And I'm like, I can't. I got to go home. And, I go home and play the races from here. But it just, forget about thinking and making decisions. Then it carried into the night. Of course, at Presque Isle in the last race, in my write-up that's on PresqueIsleDowns.com, I like 3-1-6. So naturally, I play $10 key box, 3 with 1-6. And it comes in 1-6 for $198, but
oof,
I don't have it because I didn't play a $5 exacto box for $30. I had to go key box for $40. So that was kind of a cherry on top or icing on the cake, whatever. However,
I hear
you describe it.
You know, this is interesting that you you characterize the end of it as tiring. I gained momentum as the meet went on, and I cited two things that contributed. And people, including Andy, when I bring it up pre-meet, he had typically has scoffed at this, but I think it's a huge factor. The 6 day a week, we're just not used to it, and I'm sorry. No matter what level of player you are, if you're gonna be involved or try to be involved in these 40 days, and I'll bring this up tomorrow or Thursday with Paul Matisse. Paul's looking at literally dozens and dozens of races a day, 7 days a week. He's a professional player, so he can speak to it too. But 6 days a week here, 10 races minimum, and we're just not used to it, Dick. And I think it takes some habit and practice and getting into a routine. And I also was on my heels early because I had some social obligations the first week, 8-9 days. And so it took me almost a quarter of the meet in to start to get into my routine of going through the pages first, then adding in thoroughbred figures, then adding in pace and making my decisions and writing them up. And once I got into a better routine, my typical routine, the horses, things started to fall into place. And I really think that being mentally prepared for the 7 weeks, the 6 day a week, I think that people should be aware going into Saratoga next summer, if you struggled the same way early, or maybe ran out of gas, remember how different this is compared to every other part of the year.
Yes. And if Saratoga began tomorrow, I think I'd be ready.
There you go.
Because of the last 40 days of work. That's why I didn't do any work coming into the meet. But, I'll give a couple of anecdotes. Hong Kong does how much per night? But they only run two nights. Japan does way more than Hong Kong. And their major metropolitan JRA tracks basically run 1 day a week, maybe 2 days a week. So we want all these things from racing. but we continue to do what we do. And Del Mar pulled the plug, and they went back to five-day week, five, 6 years ago. And the first year, yeah, your numbers don't look too good. But then eventually that kind of comes back, and it's well worth doing. And I'm not saying what they're going to do next year, because they're being kind of coy about it, but no one is betting against 8 weeks, 5 days a week. It just gives everyone a little bit of recovery. I mean, I've had real jobs. This is not a real job. But the workers that have real jobs, you know, the backstretch people and everything else, I mean, Saturday night, you got a horse in that last race. By the time you get your horse back, take him to the spit barn, and then walk back to your store. God forbid you're over at Oklahoma, where all the people are parked and trying to get out of there at night with no lights in the paths and everything. I mean, that's a long, long day that begins again the next morning at 5 o'clock. So it's not just the 6 days. It's the length of the day itself that just grinds a lot of people down. Now, I can look at it a little bit differently than you do. There's three components: emotional, intellectual, and physical. And I don't think enough people pay attention to the physical. That if you're going to do this, you better be ready physically to do this. Now, you know, you don't sweat. You're in great shape. You got to make guys like me. I gotta go into spring training to get ready for this. And halfway through, I'm like, oh man, I'm toast. So. It's there's a lot of components that go into it. And then, you know, you sit back and you think, well, if I would have just played Englehart in that fifth race that day, that's a $21,000 pick five, and that I was alive to a 3-5 Chad Brown. So if you hit that, you're a genius. You know, one
that's
small
right.
decision. But day in, day out, and I'm more of a grinder. But what I couldn't get this meet was situations where I really thought I had a trend that, you know, whether it's speed on the main track or, you know, whatever it might be, if I pressed, it just didn't seem to work. So I was better off just making kind of the same bet over and over again, and hopefully have more winners than losers and things like that. But when you're in what we do, and not just us, but people that are working in the game, they're worn out. I mean, they really are. And these poor people that have to drive back to New York City on their day off to take care of different issues back in Long Island or whatever. Oh, God bless them.
Well, absolutely. How do you and you bring up and you hint at a next step, and I want you to talk about how you use these 40 days of results and apply them to either Keeneland or to Belmont or wherever the horses, trek on to.
Well, one thing I'm going to do is every single day, 7 days a week, I've written a diary of the races. So I have 40-something diaries because I did dark day wrap-ups. I'm then going to go in and take each file and rename them by date, and then create one gigantic Word file where I just keep copying and pasting to the end of it so that I have one gigantic Word file that has all the days of Saratoga Racing so that if I see something and it might spark something, I can quickly use that as a reference. I have a spreadsheet now with 404 races in it that I can then reference for various factors that I do, and I'm working on that. I'm wrapping up week 7 for today to be on the Twin Spires blog. So I'll look at things like that. And then as I'm doing that, that'll spark various things. Oh, yeah, that was the day no one on the inside won. So if someone raced on the inside that day and ran good but not great, I'll give that horse some points and maybe move it up, especially at a better price this time. So just normal stuff. And you know, it should be a great scouting mission for Belmont Fall. And I just wish horses raced more and ran back sooner. Because in a 40-day meet, you would think we would have, you know, horses that raced 3, 4, God forbid, 5 times. And that clearly doesn't happen. But at least when they get back to Belmont, you'll be catching a lot of these horses.
One of the things, and having somebody like Christophe Clement on, and I also heard this from George Weaver about maybe 2-3 weeks ago, the difficulties that arose out of the off the turf circumstances. I mean, it's one thing to have, you know, an average number 22-24 races off the turf over the course of a Saratoga, to have 50 races come off. I mean, that's a major interruption, and to adjust to that, and horses that, you know, that may have missed their opportunity to run. There's going to be horses that'll run here probably in the next, you know, the first 2 weeks of Belmont that had been pointing for and may have missed an assignment, and they may go overlooked. And one thing to do, and you know, but Tina abuses me about all the paper that that I accrue, but one of the advantages of accruing it is to be able to go back and look at those, not just the charts, but the PPs, and knowing, you know, the horses that ended up scratching out of those races, and, you know, go back and see how those horses might have fit in against the ones that ran, and also look at the ones that went ahead and maybe ran, and see, you know, where they shook out. And there's so much to be gleaned out of this. You know, we talk about horses being misbet, you know, that Andy bangs that drum better than anybody, horses being misbet in off the turf races. Well, you know, there's also horses that succeeded in off the turf. Not every horse is going to be Sipican Harbor and come back and and win a grade one. There's some of those horses that came out of maiden wins on, you know, off the turf races that are going to look good to the public. And when they face off against, you know, other horses now, either on the dirt or back on the grass, they're going to look better than they are.
Yeah, the way I describe it is you've got an airplane with 100 people and the flight gets canceled. The airplane seats 100, they have 90 people. So now those 90 people need new reservations on other airplanes that have 100 seats and 90 people. So those 90 people are not getting into those 10 empty seats on the next flight. So with racing, when we have off the turf, well, yeah, well, we'll ride an overnight. We'll ride an extra. But that doesn't mean you're getting in. And trainers wind up having to scramble and running horses in spots or circumstances that might not be perfect, but they have to get into a race. If a race comes up and it's going to go and they're in, they pretty much have to. And I think too many bettors think there's a big menu out there that, like, you can tell Gary, let's go 7 and let's do here, let's run against this class, and you just plug that in and that's the race. You're lucky to be, you know, even close to what you want. Because it's just the races that go, and there's not much choice and decision-making that you have in order to get into them. You're kind of the victim of the circumstances. You're not dictating the circumstances. So I think that's a big factor. And as you said, if you had the TPs and you look at who wound up racing, you'd look at a 50 claimer that came off the turf, and you're like, this is a 20 claimer. This isn't a 50 claimer. Come on, these horses that wound up racing, the 5 or 6 of them that stayed in, aren't that good. And so if you look good winning that race, maybe it wasn't that good a win, and just stuff like that. So it did complicate things. It made it, to me, almost to the point where I didn't really feel like doing a lot of advance work, because I know the weather forecast, I know there's a chance of storms, and I know it might come off the turf, and then I don't know who's going to scratch, so I might as well wait till the morning of and do my work then, instead of wasting a lot of time on horses that aren't going to race.
And that is, I think, the way a lot of people reacted. And, you know, for me, of course, you know, doing, you know, being on the air 9 to noon, it made it, you know, made it a little tricky. And actually, I missed very little. I ended up a couple of days where I only posted the pick five, the late pick five, the Naira Betts action, and the late pick four. But you know, being able to adjust. We had that conversation with a caller too. Rick called this morning, and he didn't realize that Mario Gutierrez had ended up on Game Winner last night at Del Mar until after, you know, after the race was kind of on top of them. It's hard under those circumstances, Dick, when there's, you know, a lot of scratches. There's even, you know, the worst being when there's scratches and there's races taken off the turf once the race day has begun. And that, you know, being able to, you know, to tap dance to that, that's one of the real challenges. And, you know, some people, I know plenty of people that say, you know what, I'll wait for tomorrow, I'll wait for Friday, whatever it is. And I get that. But if you're doing it seriously, you want to be in position as often as possible to take advantage of the opportunities that do get afforded. And Dick, particularly in this era where those of us that are not computer players and have the sophisticated tools that are, you know, pouring wagers in batches, for those of us that are fighting in the trenches hand to hand, if you put yourself in the position to pounce and pick your spots when the dominoes fall in the right direction, you can beat the big outfits. Very much like the trainers that came in and won races here against the biggest outfits right on the racetrack. Plenty of small people came in and came away with the money at the end of the day.
Yes, that was great to see. A lot of the riders, David Cohen winning 17 races, 16 on the dirt. That was fantastic to see. Kind of like my advice, not that I follow my own advice, but my advice before to me was to take the top 10 trainers and riders, and of that top 10, work on the bottom 5, 6, 9, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, in both categories. And when you look at those trainers and jockeys, they bring in a lot of horses at nice prices. Very few odds-on favorites in there, and you can get just tremendous value with them. And I think that Neve showed that, because as Chad was winning 46 races, everything else was spread out really well. And that gave lots of people opportunities to win multiple times, to run extremely well in big races. A lot of the riders, you know, Romero, Mirage, and Nazario, Alvarado, because I keep track of this stuff on spreadsheets. When I put in Alvarado, it's supposed to pick up Junior, and then I'm like, wait a minute, I got to pick which Alvarado it is. So just things like that, I thought, made the meet enjoyable, because there were a lot of people winning races that probably won more than they might have expected. And once you got by Chad had 11 winners in the last week. Think about that. That's unbelievable. Karen had 5. Todd had 2, Linda and Rudy had 3. Chad had 11 in the last week. So that's just amazing. And Javier had 10. Javier had a big comeback, because Javier did not have a good meet last year with 28 wins. And he really bounced back this year. He rode just lights out the whole meet. And he was tremendous. But I like following the Joel Rosario. You know, during Belmont, we get real frustrated with Joel, because that last to first move doesn't always work. And boy, did he have a timed right this year! So it was just a lot of fun. My highlight for the meet, Steve, was just hands down the personal ensign with Abel Tasman and Elite. I don't care what happened with the stewards or anything else. That's just as good a horse race as you'll ever see, and that was just so memorable.
Absolutely. And, you know, you bring up some of the riding accomplishments and Davey Cohen definitely avoiding injury the other day, too. A couple of horseman notes that had, you know, really nice summers. Pat Reynolds. Patty had a terrific summer, and so did Anthony Quartarolo, and Ron Paolucci did very well. The number on a steady basis, they won races. Those two come to mind, and really, you know, from that standpoint, I love you know, frankly, I mean, those are the stories I really enjoy. That Alejandro Mamo comes in from Finger Lakes and does nice work. You know, and then there's the whole out of towner storyline, whether it's the out-of-towners that we're familiar with that come to New York in general, or completely, you know, unknown fresh faces. That, to me, was a consistent opportunity to bet invaders. And I'm going to have to do a lot of this kind of work separately. People from out of town that have New York breads in their barn, I think that they won at a goofy rate.
Did Larry Rivelli have one?
Rivelli, you had, of course, the Richie Vega, Collegeville girl, who very well might have won the Seeking the Ante if she hadn't, flipped her shit in the gate. There was a horse that I think would have won, but they scratched. Ollie Figgins. Keep an eye on Ollie Figgins. He's got a couple of New York breds coming up from Maryland. There was a steady parade of those, and then even the ones that came up that that were being kept at Belmont. Rudy Rodriguez won with some of his off-brand New York breds.
Yeah. Horses that have been out of Finger Lakes that would turn here and win. Yep. Yeah. There was a lot of that, and I enjoy that, and I don't view that as being just chaotic as some people do. I just think it shows a certain level. I was of the opinion that these class levels, these claiming levels, are kind of false. So a 20 claimer can move up to 40, a 12.5 can move up to 20. It's just not that big a deal, and many of them did, and the trainers that might not catch your eye were shipping in here and doing well, and there was a period where, boy, if you didn't make your last start in Belmont or wherever in New York, you weren't going to do well up here, and that was not the case this year.
Well, let's... put Saratoga away, at least for this moment. I'll have more conversation along these lines the next couple of days, and that'll include with Paul Matisse and probably with Andy, too, with Andy Serling before Belmont opens. We always take a break with Andy during Saratoga because he's buried alive here. But, Dick, let's take a look also at what went on at Presque Isle, and that included you had the stake the other day. You had the McDermott, and it's getting to be crunch time toward the Masters and the Mile.
Yeah, the McDermott. I like that filly, Amy Farrah Fowler, and she didn't make the lead. She chased, and then in the stretch, she bore out real bad. Didn't look it. She ran second, but not the same filly who had crushed rivals in her previous two starts. Housekeeping note, the Tension Horsemen, tomorrow, September 5th, the Masters, the Mile, and the Mrs. Pat's Paxson closes Wednesday, September 5th. So if you haven't gotten your paperwork done yet, please do, because those races close tomorrow, and those will be just fantastic races to watch, and hopefully we can get another Amy's Mesa that, even though she didn't win last year, she looked like she was going to.
Yes, she did.
I have the same reaction. But that race has just yielded just tremendous results, especially in the Breeders' Cup Filly and Mare Dirt Sprint. So we'll be keeping an eye on that. And like I said last night, I blow $198 exactly to finish the evening. Don't be so salty won last night. Former first-time starter winner here in Saratoga was second in the tractory. He's still out there at the age of six, and he was a sharp winner last night. Teresa Connolly claimed him and is just going to keep winning as long as they write that condition for her. Teresa now has 48 wins. It was kind of neck and neck with her and Jerry Brooks. She has 48 wins. Jerry Brooks has 33 wins. So she has just blown open the trainer standings. Ron Potts has 24 off a 26% win percentage rate. Glenn Wismer, 23 wins. He's winning at 24%. Matthew Kintz is winning at 17%, but still winning at 31%. He got off to a great start, but he's still maintaining that win percentage, even though he doesn't run that many horses. Pablo Morales, 110 wins. I don't know what the record is. He said it last year. He'll probably come close to it with about 25 days of racing left. And Gallardo has 80. And then below that is there's a group of riders, Scott Speed, Willie Martinez, Adiel Ayala, all have had 40-something wins. Willie Martinez continues to win at 17%. And Spieth is always tough going two turns. So tonight, Tuesday, we're going to go to race number three. This is a mile and 70, beaten $5,000 claim. Is number six, Henin or Henin, H-E-N-I-N. Larry Hayes is the trainer. This one pressed a very slow pace last time out, 26-1, 51. Was right there at the wire. They all kicked home pretty fast. Missed by a neck. That was down on the inside where she might not have had the clearest of trips. Not that she was in traffic, but just didn't have a lot of freedom to race down there. Tonight she draws post six, gets Eddie Dominguez. So she will be our first play today. And our next play today will come in the very next race, race four. We're going to go with the very speedy number six, Creative Story. This one just missed going gate to wire, two back against 12-5s. Came back against 12-5s last time, rallied from a little bit off the pace to get second. Blinkers off tonight, and I that's always a big move for me. A lot of horses just suddenly pique their interest and the blinkers come off, and I think this one could be that kind of horse. Already has natural speed, so I don't think it really needs the blinkers to run this quick, and maybe this one will relax a little bit better and be more competitive in the stretch. So race three, number six, Henin. And race four, number six, Creative Story. We are rolling double, so you could go a rolling double from race three into four, six and six.
Very nice. Eight race cards the next three nights, and tomorrow, actually, the fourth race, there's what looks to be a pretty nice group of two-year-old fillies. They're going to go six. These are maidens, and you got a bunch of unraced types and some nicely matched, nicely bred. So you got to do some pedigree work, a nice big full field, and looking at the cards each night, awfully good. Nice variety, and make sure you look 5:30, 5:25 on a nightly basis here during the week at Presque Isle Downs. Very nice.
Race four, I went with Graham Motion watching the wheels, and Graham trains at Fairhill Training Center, but when you look at the workouts, if it says training track, that's Tapita. If it doesn't say training track, that's dirt. Now, she's had a couple of workouts on the Tapita, so she's well prepped to go up to Presque Isle and run on their Tapita. So I did go at number four, watching the wheels, 9-2, morning line, first time started by Broken Bell.
Very nice. There we go. So a bonus, a Dickie Powell bonus selection. Dick, it was fun. I saw you more this summer than last summer, certainly, and that it was nice. I ran into you repeatedly during the meet.
I was out and about, and then next thing, I'm heading for my car before everybody else. And I did miss all the big thunderstorms. I got out of there before the big thunderstorms hit, so that was smart of me. I was very proud of myself.
I actually mostly dodged. I think I too mostly dodged the storms. I was well positioned. I didn't get caught in one anyway. Well, Dick, we'll try to catch some winners at Presque Isle tonight, tomorrow, and move toward the big Grade Two Presque Isle Masters. Let's take a break. And certainly, Bob Baffert has mastered the two-year-old Delmar Futurity, 14th. Last night. We'll try to reach Bob. Sometimes this is tricky given the getaway day and the return, everybody heading back up to Santa Anita and Los Al and so forth. So we're going to look to a visit with Bob Baffert to close out the morning and or John White. So stay with us. We got about 20 minutes. So either way, we'll probably get our last break of the day as we recap everything that went on not just over Labor Day, but over the summer. Saratoga, Ellis, Del Mar. Back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Hey, what's going on? Mikey here, and I'm going to tell you about an offer from my good friends at ExpressBet. Let's be honest. We know you love playing the races, but you can't always make it to the track. Sometimes life just gets in the way of a good bet. Well, what if I told you about a place where you never miss a bet and you start with house money? You'd say I'm crazy, right? Well, not at ExpressBet. Your first $100 are on them. That's right. Sign up at ExpressBet.com using promo code XBRadio, bet $100, and they'll deposit $100 back into your account the very next day. Hey, plus you could get an extra $25 if you use ExpressFund Direct Deposit. You see what I mean? House money for betting the races. It's that easy. Check it out at ExpressBet.com to learn more. And don't forget to sign up for promo code XBRadio. You're gonna love it. And that's a Mikey guarantee. Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
Pennsylvania's breeding program is truly the most lucrative in North America. Now, we'll pay a 50% breeder award for PA-sired, PA-bred maidens who run first, second, or third, with 25% for non-PA-sired, PA-breds. Last year, the number of mares bred rose by 15% in Pennsylvania. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard too.
Hi, John Pirana here, inviting you to join me in the Dublin Racing Club, along with friends like Steve Bick and Tom Durkin. If you have an interest in Ireland and horse racing, it's the best way to be involved with both. So log on now to DublinRacingClub.com and come join us at one of Ireland's 26 racetracks.
The Dublin Racing Club is designed to introduce racing fans to the ownership experience by participating in the sport in Ireland. For more information on the Dublin Racing Club, log on to DublinRacingClub.com.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio. Don't wait for promises, man. They can't be measured up enough. You weigh your hat so heavy.
That's why you fumble when you walk. Yeah. If you want me to disappear. We're back at the races. Just about 20 minutes to fill out. And I'm not sure what we've got next, but either way, let me give you a couple of other pieces that we haven't gotten to. And I mentioned the other hour with Jay Pribman, the BC Juvenile, and it's just interesting to see how people are rating the 2-year-olds currently. And I mentioned Instagram went off as the favorite among the betting interests. The all others 8-1, and that prospect certainly is notable because game winner, this is funny because some of you that participated, you did okay. Game winner went off at 22-1 because this closed on Sunday. So I don't know if Bob Baffert took a swing with game winner in the juvenile futures, but 22-1, it looking pretty good after yesterday's futurity win at 14th for Bob Baffert, who joins us now. And in addition to the futurity win yesterday, go back to the prior S on Sunday and the absolutely fabulous return and a wonderful performance there by Dreamtree to win the prior S. Bob Baffert joins us. Congratulations.
It was a mixed weekend, but we got a couple of them.
I'm glad you couched it in those terms because Jay Pribman and I talked earlier, Bob, and you know it hard not to talk about Chasing yesterday and Roadster. Weave it into the mixed results.
Yeah, I was I was a little bit disappointed in my fillies, the mother and Chasing yesterday. They just didn't really bring it, and but that happens to 2-year-olds, you know, second out sometimes. You like to have two outs into them before you go for something like that. But Chasing yesterday, I really thought she'd run well, but it was just really, the track was like, seemed different that day. It was like they were coming from off the pace, loose, and when she fell back, got that dirt, first 100 yards, I said to myself, I was watching the paddock, I said, I should have left her home, you know, and so, but that happened, but we learned a lot from her, and she'll get something out of it, so she's in good shape.
How did she ship? I mean, how'd the shipping go? Just because that's part of it, a young horse being sent across the country.
Yeah, she shipped well. I mean, she handled everything really well. I mean, I just couldn't believe, you know, she broke well, and she, I guess she was slipped there. She lost a front shoe leaving there, I guess. Came back without a shoe. I don't know where she lost a shoe, but it just didn't go well. And, you know, that happened, you know, she came out of it well. That's the main thing.
And shift into mother and back to Del Mar, and then we'll swing back to Dreamtree's performance Saturday and Monday for the boys and the girls.
Yeah, Dreamtree, you know, she's just been working so well here at Del Mar, and she was really, I was looking at a little stake here on closing day here for the surf stakes, you know, non winners of 50, but the way she's been working, I thought I have to, you know, running the prior S, and, you know, it's like, especially, you know, she's, you know, this is when you want to really, it's a good 3-year-old race, and, you know, she can win at Saratoga, that's huge, you know, so, you know, I love winning at Saratoga, because it means so much for the horse.
Well, and this performance, you know, she's been away since February. And when you run a 3-year-old at the beginning of the year, and then you come back in the final third of the year, she ran 100 buyer. And so the maturity and the time away absolutely did her some good. And the way she did it, it really feels like, you know, you'll get back at some point to stretching her out. Where's your thinking coming out of this?
Well, right now, we're not going to stretch her out yet. I'm thinking, you know, filling mare sprint right now.
Okay.
And so we'll just shoot for that, and then after that we can stretch her out.
Well, she looked terrific, and she beat a nice field. This was Mia Mischief and Simon Callahan sent Moonshine Memories, who ran a nice race, and there was also Linda Rice with Sour. This was a good field that she beat. So Dreamtree comes back running. She remains undefeated. She's probably the least known undefeated horse in America.
Yeah, I mean, she's beautiful. She's really grown. You know, she was doing well last year, and this year, I just didn't like the way she was training, and so I could tell she was just wasn't enjoying it, and so I just backed off of her, and I just gave her a little time off there, and she came back, and she just really came back great. So,
Well, let's get to yesterday. And the season at Saratoga was in the books. Everybody turned their attention to Del Mar as the evening darkened here. And we were watching, and the last big grade one of the season here, the hopeful, and then at Del Mar, the futurity, and all eyes on Roadster to an extent. Some thoughts about how this unfolded, and game winner, you had said you thought was a horse that was more down the road, more of a two-turner, and he ends up prevailing.
Yeah, I mean, he's really, you know, when you get these two-year-olds that Gary and Mary West, they send me a bunch of two-year-olds, and they just say, the ones you don't like, just send them back to the Midwest, and we'll go through them, and if there's a good one in there, I'll keep it, and he just wants to, you know, he just wants to keep the good ones here in California. So, so he sent me, I think he sent me about 12, 15 two-year-olds. And this was the one. I said, I think I got a good one. I told him, I think this is the one. So, we ran him here. And I really was surprised. I didn't think he would win first out because he's sort of a big, immature colt. And, you know, didn't have a lot of speed, but he's you know, but if you watch him train, he's got, every time he gallops around there, he'll catch your eye. Like, man, he really moves over the ground really well. And if you get a good candy ride, they're usually really, really good. So I was excited the way he won first out. I didn't think he would do that. And then, so I didn't want to sit on that long. And so I told Gary, let's work him. So Gary, we watched him work, and he worked really well. And so I thought I'll just take a chance at it. And I'm glad I had him in there. Because the Roadster, the Roadster just sort of, he just ran flat yesterday, and but he looks good today, so we'll just, that happens, these young horses.
Well, and when it comes to planning toward the American Pharoah, how does this change things for you and the lineup and the approach in toward Breeders' Cup?
Oh, we have a few here, so I'm just going to, you know, game winner. He's had two good outs now, and so I don't know what I'll do there. I'll know in a couple of weeks. We'll just give them see how they're training right before that. So I just wait. I let the horses tell me when they're ready.
Sure.
That's who goes in. You know, it's like a quarterback. Whoever's throwing, whoever had the best practice, that's the one that's going to run.
I love it. Well, you also got another couple of maiden winners, and that included Magic on Top, the Tappet, the other day. Was that Saturday? I've lost track.
Yeah, that was that. He was really nice. He belongs to Summerwind Farm, Jane Lyons, and we were really high on him all along. And I think he's a really good one. And we had a good, you know, our 2 year olds. You know, we had that. Union Rag Colt to tell the Union to look really, really good winning. So, we've got some nice, you know, and we still have some more that we haven't run yet that look, you know, hopefully they'll be pretty nice also.
Well, and that's interesting that Magic on Top is Summerwind, because didn't Summerwind breed Game Winner?
I have four horses that she bred.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, I've got Game Winner. I've got Chasing Yesterday. I've got McKenzie and Magic on Tap.
Unbelievable.
So she's got it. You know, but she's been married. She's collected a fantastic broodmare fan. You know, and she's really getting into racing. So that's really good.
Nice.
It's good for a trainer.
Well, especially if you're, you know, you're on early. And, of course, you had the same kind of multiple success with Clear Sky, thinking about Arrogate and Abel Tasman. It's kind of funny, the groupings. It's amazing how often that happens. Right now, Hertrick and Fielding are having this grouping of success, and there was Macmer Hall had that intense period of, you know, one after another that were, were making their mark, etc. It's kind of interesting. I got to ask you. You mentioned McKenzie. Everything's still on track for the Pennsylvania Derby?
Yeah, I'm going to breeze in tomorrow. I'm still here at Del Mar. I'm going to ship out Thursday, but he'll work tomorrow, and hopefully, so far he looks good. So we're looking forward to it.
And since we're on the
if
Gary
shows
Mary,
up, that means he's ready.
No, exactly. Who else might turn up? If you had to guess, you got more than him for Parks.
I don't know. I don't think that far ahead. Yeah. That's not until September 22nd. And then we have to go to Cleveland. We got to go buy more. We got to go restock. So,
September 22nd.
It never ends.
It's 2 weeks away, Bob. The Pennsylvania Derby's it's in 2 weeks from Saturday.
No, it's just a long ways off. In a trainer's life, it's way off.
Well, we did notice the other day that, speaking of the Wests, that West Coast worked, and it seems like you're tightening up the screws there a little bit.
Yeah, he looks really great. He's really filled out. He looks great, and he worked yesterday. They missed it on the tab, but they put him on last night. But he worked 5/8 yesterday, but he's come along. So we're bringing along at his own pace, and, we'll start tightening the screws pretty soon. But we're really, like I said, we're just getting him, trying to make that Breeders' Cup if we can. If not, we're just letting them come at their own pace, so we'll see what happens.
Well, Bob, finally, last week, I when we talked on Monday, right about this time, I know that I startled you, with the John Asher news today, there's a big line at Churchill that are going through the visitation. That'll go till 8 o'clock tonight. A chance for you to share with people your appreciation. We were both so stunned last Monday. I didn't get a chance to ask you, and you've obviously had a chance to talk to several.
Yeah,
people.
That was really. John is like, he was Mr. Churchill Downs. I mean, he represented them. And he was their voice piece, and he was great. He's always was the first one to meet me when I got there. He'd come see me, but the thing is, first thing he would ask me is, when I started coming there back in 1996, I'd always bring a couple horses with me, and I called them beer money horses, and it was like the horse that we can bet on. We can win an allowance race or main race or a little state. This is the one we're going to bet on so we can pay for everything. And so every year he'd ask me, okay, I need a beer money horse. Who's the beer money horse? I'm trying to figure out who the beer money horse is. And so I'd give him a horse, and he'd bet, and the horse would win. It was a maid or it was something, So it was always fun to take a beer money horse. But he says, but when I went in 2015, he says, all right, Bob, welcome here. And so who's the beer money horse? And I told him, American Pharoah. I mean, that's the horse. Wow. He goes, oh, man. He goes, he had so much passion for the game, and he just, Churchill Downs, he just loved it, and he had that voice. The minute he started talking, he would just command the room with his voice. He had that strong voice, and he was just always, he was always even keel. I never got seen him get upset. He had to put up with all the trainers and everything else, but he always kept his cool and was like very professional. He just loved it, and he loved talking to all the trainers and the jockeys and the stories and everything. He loved, he loved listening to the different things. And just everybody loved John. It was. Still, I still can't believe he's not going to be there when we go back.
That sentiment has been just echoed throughout the industry.
So the other day, yeah. I was on the radio with Darren Rogers.
And yes,
talking
Friday.
About the beer money horses. He says, "Can you give me a beer money horse this weekend?" I said, "Well, I got one. I Magic on Tap, but I don't think he's going to pay very much, it was fun. It was fun, and he made it enjoyable. When you get there, he made sure, you know, whatever you need, whatever, you know, and, you know, can I do this? Can I call you? He'd call me to do something. You know, I always
right.
did it. And, you know, you never said no to John.
No. No. And
or you're... to Steve. Or to Steve Bick. I can't say no to Steve Bick.
You're too kind.
I'll say the same thing about you, Steve. So.
That's nice of you to say. Bob, 14 futurities, and go shop for a 15th next week at Keeneland.
Yeah, I'm telling you what, I don't really keep count of it. I know there was somebody asking, how many do you want? I don't know. A few. But, you know, it's like, it's one of those things where I never look back. You got to look forward all the time, and I'm always looking forward to the next week. So, but, you know, you just got to find out why those other ones didn't run well. That bothers me more than anything. I always win those races, and I'm still upset that I didn't run 1-2. But it's one of these days I'll look back and, you know, I just expect more, you know. So, but you have to, as a trainer, you know, we want all our horses to run well, you know, show
absolutely.
Up. Absolutely. Makes us feel, you know, so. And when they don't show up, it's just like, wow, how did this horse really surprised me, you know, he didn't show up, you know, so.
Well, they show up more often. They show up more often for you than
I like when they show up.
Absolutely.
You know, and the Saratoga, I mean, they were so nice to me up there, you know, like, gave me the red jacket, and that was pretty nice of them to do that.
Well, Bob, I appreciate you showing up for us.
I was gonna wear the red jacket yesterday.
At Del Mar? No, you can't do that. They'll get mad at you. No, you can't do that.
I was going to put the red jacket on.
I love it.
It's bright.
Bob, congratulations. I appreciate it.
All right. Well, thanks for having me.
Always great. Bob Baffert, everybody.
What was the buyer on the game winner? Ever get a buyer? I never heard of anything.
Game winners. I've just posted it. I posted it on Twitter. Aren't you following me on Twitter? 93.
I don't know.
93. Yep.
Wow, that's pretty good.
That's pretty good.
What are the hopeful?
84. 84.
84?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You should have split them up. Could have won both.
I think Andy Byer. I got on Andy Byer's case, but he gave Abel Tasman a really weak buyer. I think he's just making. He's making. That's a makeup buyer. I think
that's what. That's the line of the morning. Buyer with
that's
the
right.
makeup. The makeup
he's
buyer.
Makeup.
I love it.
Yeah, he's probably an 80. He's probably an 85, but he gave me 93. All right. Well, thank you. Thanks for having
Thanks,
me.
Bob. Oh, he's the greatest. A makeup buyer. Happy birthday, Tony Black. Let's get that in there, folks. It's Tony's birthday. I want to thank Greg Sacco, Jay Pridman, Christophe Clement. She's a very nice filly. Dickie Powell and Bob Baffert. Talk to you tomorrow.
It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Hey, what's going on? Mikey here, and I'm going to tell you about an offer from my good friends at ExpressBet. Let's be honest. We know you love playing the races, but you can't always make it to the track. Sometimes life just gets in the way of a good bet. Well, what if I told you about a place where you never miss a bet and you start with house money? You'd say I'm crazy, right? Well, not at ExpressBet. Your first $100 are on them. That's right. Sign up at ExpressBet.com using promo code XBRadio, bet $100, and they'll deposit $100 back into your account the very next day. Hey, plus you could get an extra $25 if you use Express Fund Direct Deposit. You see what I mean? House money for betting the races. It's that easy. Check it out at ExpressBet.com to learn more. And don't forget to sign up for promo code XBRadio. You're gonna love it. And that's a Mikey guarantee. Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
Pennsylvania's breeding program is truly the most lucrative in North America. Now, we'll pay a 50% breeder award for PA-sired, PA-bred maidens who run first, second, or third, with 25% for non-PA-sired, PA-breds. Last year, the number of mares bred rose by 15% in Pennsylvania. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard too.
Hi, John Parada here, inviting you to join me in the Dublin Racing Club, along with friends like Steve Bick and Tom Durkin. If you have an interest in Ireland and horse racing, it's the best way to be involved with both. So log on now to DublinRacingClub.com and come join us at one of Ireland's 26 racetracks.
The Dublin Racing Club is designed to introduce racing fans to the ownership experience by participating in the sport in Ireland. For more information on the Dublin Racing Club, log on to DublinRacingClub.com.